This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Hello? You play to win the game.
We're playing to win this week.
All right, final hour for us. He's Anthony Hare, and I'm Judson Richards. We are in for Spiegel and Holmes today. So excited to talk to our next guest. He is Herm Edwards. He is the one with, you know, I don't want to go too far, but that is one of the most favorite or famous quotes in sports. And Herm, I'm sorry, it's a bit on the nose, but you heard Ben Johnson follow up after you, where when Ben Johnson was asked this week about how they're going to approach the Detroit Lions, they're already in as the 2 or the 3 seed. And he said very clearly, we're going to play to win that game. What was it so much about that quote from yours back in 2002 that you think resonated so much with the public?
Well, I just think people, you know, in general, whenever you are a competitor, I mean, if that's not your mindset, then you got a problem, right? And it doesn't matter how many games you won or lost. I mean, every game is or opportunity is that's the most important opportunity. And when you stop playing to win, then why are you playing? At the end of the day, I mean, that's just kind of important last time I checked.
And it seems that this coach, Ben Johnson, for the Bears in his first year, we had seen for seasons that he was a high-level offensive mind in Detroit. And then you had Dan Campbell as the head coach that seemed to be this sort of driving force for the Detroit culture. But there was no way to know for sure how Ben Johnson would manage a full locker room, a full organization. I've been so impressed, Coach, with the way that Ben Johnson, as he's come in here, he's not only bringing that offensive prowess to him, but this team as a whole, the competitive drive that's there and the accountability has come with him as well. It seems like kind of a rare combination of scheme and cultural leadership. What stood out to you about how Ben Johnson's been running the Bears?
Well, first thing that you notice right away is quarterback play, right? I mean, you know, Caleb Williams, first player picked. I mean, he last year struggled holding on to the ball, took what, 68 sacks? Something crazy like that. And, you know, now this team is a scoring machine. It showed up in San Francisco. I mean, now if you're a defensive coach, you can't watch the tape. but, you know, this is a team now that is running on all cylinders offensively. And they do a good job defensively of taking the ball away. I mean, that's the number one in the league, taking the ball away. So that gives your offense more possessions. It also helps your quarterback in the sense if he errors, let's just say, and he throws a pick or they have a fumble on offense, they just feel like, look, our defense will bail us out. So this team is humming. No one anticipated that they would be 11-5 and lead the NFC North with Green Bay in that division, Detroit in that division, and obviously Minnesota. You know, if you were a betting person, I bet you nobody bet that the Chicago Bears with one game left would basically have a 2-game lead in their division.
I had the opportunity, the pleasure, really, to be able to call some of the games. When you were at Arizona State, I was at the Pac-12 Network, and you had a true freshman, Jaden Daniels, at quarterback for you. And myself and my broadcast partner at the time was a guy named Roxy Bernstein. We're both in the meeting room with you. And me and Roxy still joke about it now, where we were just foaming at the mouth about how incredible Jaden Daniels was as a true freshman for you. You were telling us both to calm down. You know, like, he's a young guy. There's a lot of football ahead of him. He's going to have some hiccups. And now, these years later, where he had the opportunity, he played so much college football, had so much time on task, as did Bo Nix and all these guys in the same draft class with Caleb. And you're referencing the development you've seen in Caleb in his second season. Is it underappreciated how much just the time on task, the amount of starts a guy has in college, can prepare them for immediate success as a pro?
Well, that and who's coaching him and what are they willing to do? Or is their offense, especially play quarterback, is it flexible enough to obviously, you know, blend in with what the quarterback skill set is. I mean, I've seen a lot of coaches, you know, all of a sudden they got a system, and the system's bigger than the players. You got a problem. If your system's bigger than the players, you got a big problem. Your system has to be, flexible to understand that something, you know, I got a system, but you know what, I can do this too. And so I think that's the big deal with Caleb. I mean, he's still an athletic quarterback. You want him at times to make a few plays with his legs, because that's the number one thing that defenses, you know, are really, when you think about a defensive player and a defensive coach, you dread the fact that when the quarterback can make the unannounced play, leaves the pocket with his legs, you can't coach that. You don't see that on tape, because you don't know when he's going to go. And when he goes, all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh, now we got a problem, right? So defensively, it makes you a little more cautious on what you want to do, because the quarterback now is a part, you know, he just balanced the field on you. It's 11-on-11 football. It used to be 11-on-10 because the quarterback was sitting in the pocket and he didn't have to worry about the guy leaving. Well, now he leaves the pocket. So now you got to have a rush guy. Look, you got to make sure you're spying the guy, or you got to have a linebacker. You got to make sure you're spying the guy. So somebody all of a sudden in coverage has to make sure if this quarterback leaves the pocket, we can tackle him.
He spent a decade in the lead in the secondary, also head football coach of the Kansas City Chiefs and the New York Jets and Arizona State University, and much, much, much more. I still see him on my team. He's doing a great job as well on ESPN. He is Herm Edwards with us on 6-7 The Score. Herm, the message is very fresh from Ben Johnson in year one. You've heard the good, better, best in the locker room, right? You can feel the good vibes there. That messaging will not be as new by year two. For you, what was the biggest challenge from year one to year two to be able to keep that same momentum, same energy as that brand new messaging from Ben Johnson?
Well, I think you find out a lot about the players collectively, but also individually, as well as your coaching staff. And then you got to evaluate things and say, okay, we can do this. Well, how do we improve this? I mean, when you look at them as a whole, you go, here's the Chicago Bears. Now, what's saving you on defense is you're plus 22 in takeaways. But your ranking, you're 28th. That ain't a good number last time I checked. You're third in offense, right? You're third running the football, which is really good balance. And so, you know, I mean, you're 11th in passing. That's fine. But on defense, you're 28th, and you're 28th versus the run. That's not good. And so you look at that part of it and say, look, we won 11 games, and we can fix that. How much better can we become? So it's all those little things you got to look at, because you're always trying to improve, right? And you got to look at your scheme on defense. You got to look at what you're asking the players to do. Do you have to go out in free agency and get a couple guys? Who you going to draft? I mean, all these things become part of how do you continue to win, because that's the whole key now. Because now you're the hunted. You next year, you're going to win the NFC North. Okay, so now, all those other teams, Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota, they're building their team and their roster to beat you. I mean, that's how it works. You know, when the winning team in that division, you look at the team and you go, okay, what do we have to do so we can beat these guys?
What's a fair way to gauge the risk-reward kind of analysis that a coach would go to in that final game of the regular season? You know, like a Tony Dungy, if they had it wrapped up, his guys are going to sit. We were talking about Ben Johnson, yourself, the philosophy of making sure competition is there. And I think getting rusty is certainly worthy of concern if you just let guys sit and kind of lose that edge a little bit. How do you view that just from a team perspective, a cultural perspective of putting your guys out there? But there is the risk that you suffer an injury if you already have a playoff seat locked up.
No, you're right. But, you know, it's according to, you know, who's not going to play? That's the first thing you got to ask yourself. Who do we want not to play? Is it an old veteran guy, you know, who's played 12 years, 10 years in the league, might be nicked, or a guy's not 100%? So that helps you when you think of it that way. But my philosophy was real simple. last time I checked, football players play football. I mean, that's what they do. They signed on to do that now. And all of a sudden, when you start sitting there toward the end of the season and going, well, you know what, I might have to rest a couple guys now. That's okay. But don't say you're going to rest the whole team. It don't work that way. And it goes by rank and file. You got to ask your coaches, okay, we're going to get this young guy in maybe in the second quarter. Because eventually, let me tell you something, that last game, you're still trying to win. And it ain't like, hey, we don't want to win. Yeah, you do. You want to win everyone you play. They all matter, whether you're in the playoffs or not. So don't say, when I'm putting the second guys in there, well, we don't want to win. No. They have to understand, guys, you're going in the game to win. We're not trying to forfeit this game. We're not trying to get out of here and save guys. There's always a couple guys you're going to rest. I get all that. But for the most part, man, look, football players play football. When I was playing for Philadelphia, they didn't even ask me to say, hey, I'm playing, coach. I'm the starter. I'm playing. I'm playing every game.
Yeah, Herb, it's interesting. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles, they are resting guys, right? They are resting Jalen Hurts. It feels a little bit like, if we win, we win. If we don't, we don't. Ben Johnson says, we don't want to go into the playoffs on a two-game losing streak with the game they just lost to the San Francisco 49ers. As the quote you heard coming in, like, we're playing to win that game. To the playoffs, the Bears, you know, you just covered the struggles for this defense. 2 seed versus 3 seed. Like, what's the truest thing that we know about having success in the playoffs, and what do we need to see from the Bears to do that?
Well, the Bears have to be the Bears. You're not going to, you know, recreate the wheel. And you have to make sure that all of a sudden you don't try to get out of kilter and become something you're not. How you play offense, how you play defense, that got you there. You're going to be you're 11-5, so if you win, you're going to be 12-5, all right? So, but don't try to change things. Now, you might have a little something here or there. What got you there is what got you there. And the players know, because as soon as you start making changes, the players start looking at you going, coach, why are we doing that? Because we're getting in the playoffs, we're going to do that? We ain't never done that, coach. So don't try to fool the players. Now, you might have a little special something, a play or two, and you might have a certain blitz you hadn't run in a while, or, you know, a pressure practice, but just be who you are. That's what got you there.
As we've been talking about the possibility, the Bears as a 2 seed, they may be more likely to see Green Bay, who they've played a couple of times this year. Packers are pretty banged up. Or as a 3 seed, they might be more likely to see one of these teams from the NFC West, which, frankly to me, those are more complete teams. Look like they got some Super Bowl caliber rosters in Seattle, San Francisco, LA with the Rams. How do you sort of, I guess, what's your hierarchy in the NFC right now? Who are a couple of those teams you think could really make a run?
Well, you mentioned it. I think the NFC West has, you know, 3 of the better teams. There's no doubt about that. Now, San Francisco plays Seattle this week, so that'll be interesting to see where they lie at home. And, you know, Philly's a team that's a lot of playoff experience. I think offensively, you know, they're clunky at times. They're like those potholes back east in the Midwest. You know, you get them potholes every once in a while. You ain't got to worry about your tire, but that's how their offense plays. You know, it goes for a little while, and all of a sudden it gets clunky, you know. I think, you know, Carolina and Tampa, yeah, you know, it's one of those divisions. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I mean, this could be one of these deals where if Tampa Bay should win this, you know, can you imagine they'll be 8-9 and winning a division? That'd be interesting, right? Now, maybe I'm just saying it'd be 8-9. There's nothing wrong with 8-9 to win a division, but 8-9. I mean, that's okay. And then you got, you know, you guys have been to the North. You know, Green Bay's Green Bay. I mean, they've been in the playoffs. Quarterback, good player. So I just think that, you know, the West might be the strongest division. Not saying they're going to the Super Bowl, but the likelihood, I think one of them might. You know, it's kind of interesting. I say that, and I thought the Rams were really good. Then they turn around and, you know, they lose to Carolina the 1 week, and then, you know, and then they mess around and they lost Atlanta. As soon as you think they're good, it's like, well, how do you do that? How do you have those 2 losses? But that's what's so great about the league. You know, it's not who you play, it's how you play the day you play.
Herb, we appreciate your time. I love watching you break down these NFL games. It's going to be a great one. San Francisco 49ers and the Seahawks coming up on Saturday. And then we'll get in these playoffs. And who knows? Maybe the Bears can surprise some people, Herm.
Oh, I thought that, you know, I had a feeling they were going to be good this year. I said it, I mean, in the offseason, I said, look out for the Bears. They're going to be better. You know, I knew when the coach went over there, I said, he's going to fix the quarterback, and they're going to have a chance. Now, I didn't think they would be 11-5 leading the division, but I thought they would be a lot better than they were last year, and they have done that. And good for them and good for the Bear fans.
Thanks, Herm.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay, my pleasure.
All right, there he is, Herm Edwards. You play to win the game. It was dubbed the Hermism. Why do you think that resonated so much with people?
I think he was so aghast at the question that was a part of it. You know, just the idea of not competing at your peak, not attempting to go out there and win. Herm he doesn't speak that language,
right?
And you could tell that through every ounce of him is about competition and trying to be at your best when you are in this competitive environment. And how much more competitive can it get than life in the National Football League? And he had a very similar approach there in his time leading Arizona State football also. And so it was the quote, but then also just him just not even computing why someone would ask whether or not they were really going to try their hardest to win.
His face kind of said the gall, right?
Yeah,
the gall of asking, which I think is one of the reasons why we're drawn to Ben Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we're not just drawn to him because he's winning, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least, you know, maybe I'm speaking for me.
I mean,
we would be drawn to him if he was losing.
All the good, better, best stuff, if we only heard that 5 times instead of 11 times so far, we might feel differently about it.
For example, I did not know this, like, Norv Turner and his daughter have a podcast. Hmm. It popped up. They had Cam Newton on recently. It popped up on my timeline. And I was curious, you know, and I covered Norv, the 2011 season.
Yeah.
And the way that Norv spoke was, he had a very unique delivery. He kind of, you know, for a great football mind, he also sounded like he could take a nap at any moment, right?
Yeah.
Like, even when he was winning, I don't know if there would be that same kind of flame that we're drawn to. Like the way that Herm Edwards would think, why in the world would you have any other approach than this one? Mm. And Ben Johnson, when asked about how they were going to approach the Detroit Lions, was very much of the, of course, we're going to all go out there and we're going to play to win the game. Like, sure, it's winning, but the good, better, best, there seem to be something more, much more than that. And winning, one of the great parts about sports is we can check your resume very easily. It's called going to the standings. but how do you get there? How do you get there, and how do you cause others to rally, right? We've rallied because the team has rallied, and that feels so much because of Ben Johnson. They've had one winning season in 12 years. They've averaged 5 wins in the last 3 years. And so much of that has to do with the man, not just the X's and O's.
And as an old English nerd, for me, just in hearing Ben Johnson speak, he does have a really strong command of the English language as well.
Yes, he does.
So just him as a communicator— like, you know, we were talking about that Detroit game earlier in the season, and even the way he phrased it afterwards, where the direct quote was something along the lines of, our practice habits have yet to reflect that of a championship caliber team. It delivers the exact message he wants delivered while not necessarily being completely disrespectful. Like, we don't practice hard, or we're soft, or there's phrases that he could have used that maybe a lot of other kind of old school grizzled football guys might have used in that moment to describe the team that would have been a bit more inflammatory, that would have been earned after a 50 burger getting put on him at Ford Field. But he's got a really good command of the English language, which in delivering your public message, that matters. And he's really effective in that regard also. It doesn't end up mattering as much in the NFL, but in a city like Chicago, his ability to communicate and to resonate, that's allowed the city to really have a good sense for how he feels about the team at every step along the way. While not, even if there's been frustrations or disappointments along the way, he communicates it in a way that's measured enough. My message is delivered without being disrespectful completely of the guys that are here putting the work in and day out. And there's some nuance to it, and he does a really effective job in that.
There's been a lot made about how he communicates, or how they've communicated, he and Caleb Williams. You know what one way I really thought he communicated to him during training camp was the way that he talked about Tyson Bagent and paid him.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I think that is also a motivator. right? In the way that you do it, in a roundabout fashion.
Right, like not like Tyson Bagent was about to take his job, but yeah, I mean, like we respect the way he goes about his business, and we're willing to reward that. Like, I could see that.
Not for a moment did he speak as glowingly about Caleb as he did about Tyson Bagent, right?
Yeah.
Maybe in the opening press conference in January, certainly not in August.
Right.
Did that help? Did that get more out of number 18? I think it might have.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about it in that way yet. Yeah, I'll try to compute that.
Yeah, yeah, well, get back. I also, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Because Tyler and I talked about this before the show. We both agreed that you're going to disagree with me. But I'll set the tease, then we'll take which direction.
I like you too much now, so that's good. I got to find something to disagree about.
Let's see if I can get you hit by the end of the show. If the Bears do not win a playoff game, would you consider this season still a success? And we'll open the phone lines too. 312-644-6767. We'll jump into that. He is Anthony Heron. I'm Judson Richards. We are in for Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beagle and Holmes.
We're not afraid to remind people when we've had something correct.
That should be a tagline for this show.
Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You are right.
I learned it from watching you, Lawrence.
I learned it by watching you.
Afternoons on The Score.
All right, Spiegel and Holmes on a Friday. He is Anthony Hermine, Judson Richards. We are in for Spiegel and Holmes on the 34th birthday. My math was a little off there in the open there, Anthony. But this is the 34th birthday of The Score. January 2nd, 1992, WSCR launched. And we are so lucky to be, I guess... The reason why you recognize a birthday is to recognize the listeners, including you yourself driving around as a 10-year-old, 11-year-old listening to radio station.
I'd say I probably became a P1 listening to The Score probably around the age of maybe like 17, 18, something like that. It was in the periphery a little bit. My parents weren't necessarily listening to a bunch of sports talk, but once I got my license, I'm rolling around. A lot of sports talk, and then especially when spent a lot of time driving between Iowa City and back here, you know, a few hours on the road there. And The Score, as the signal strengthened, then it was available pretty quickly as I started driving back in this direction and was available for a long time, headed that way, or even like throughout NFL stops. I could get it most of the way to Green Bay, could get it most of the way to Detroit, driving between those cities and here. So it was just a lot of just driving around, listening. There was even one time where I called in while I was still, you know, I was on injured reserve with the Detroit Lions. I was driving around listening to folks talk about the Bears, and I think I was probably driving back from here to Detroit at some point. And I was like, you know what? Let me call up Dan Jiggins. I called up, and I didn't get through. Like, it was really late in the show, and I didn't even know how it worked at that point. I just remember calling the station, and I was expecting it was going to be, like, Dan Jiggins to answer the phone or whatever, just some random dude. It's probably Lawrence or something who answered the phone. I was like, wait a minute. This ain't Dan Jiggins. And then he asked me what I wanted to talk about, and I was kind of offended. Like, I didn't call to talk to
you.
How
dare you?
Yeah, so I just kind of gave some really mundane version of what I wanted to discuss. He put me on hold and then just never took the call.
You didn't sell it.
I didn't sell it. Yeah. I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know I needed to sell it. I was going to have some call screener deciding whether or not I was worthy of putting on the air. So I just say, I'm driving. I'm just sitting on hold a little bit while I'm driving. And then a few minutes later, the show ended. So I don't know. Maybe if I would have called earlier, maybe I'd have had a chance to break through and talk to Jiggs. I don't know.
Anthony, it's funny. You know, you mentioned the growth of the station, and the growth is thanks to the listeners, right? Mm-hmm. 34 years, over three decades, really the voice of Chicago sports here on The Score, and it is all thanks to you out there. I hope that sounds genuine, because I absolutely mean it, because it is why we get to do
really
what we do.
Really did not sound genuine at
Should
all.
I run it back?
It was kind of pandering. I don't know. sounded more like that to me, but that's just one man's opinion.
Well, we will open those phone lines and sell it, unlike Anthony did not do. of why you, Tyler Buterbaugh, should put you on the airwaves. 312-644-6767. I was on Wednesday in for Molly and Haw, myself and Ruthie Polinsky. We were working our way through the pick six. And one of the topics was, would you consider this Bears season a success if they did not win a playoff game? Now, the caveat was, the Bears were the two seed.
Okay.
We all know what that means if the Bears are the two seed. They play the Green Bay Packers, the seventh seed. All right, so this is the 2-7 game at Soldier Field. The Bears are 12-5, okay? Would you still consider this a successful season for the Bears?
So really, just if the Bears lose to the Packers, it's still a successful season then, I guess, if we're getting that specific with it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, this is also, there's like a 60-plus percent chance that that will be the playoff game that we're watching.
Yeah, right.
Would you still consider a successful season?
It would hurt more, but yes. Yes, to win the division, to make the postseason, and the path that has been there to get to the playoffs with the late game dramatics and the obvious growth of the quarterback and this exciting combination of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and what it can mean moving forward, a coaching staff that we've seen development in so many young and talented guys on each side of the ball and even veterans playing the best football of their careers with this regime in place. Yes, I would still, personally, I would still view it as a successful season.
You know, one of the reasons why I wouldn't is just because I'm not ready to carry the baggage of the past into this season with where the Bears are as of now, 12-5. At some point, let's not kick the can down the road. The Bears have not won a playoff game since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
2010. And one of the reasons that really sold me on, as I'm selling myself, is when I kind of put myself back on the couch and I watched the conclusion to the 2018 season.
Oh, yeah, that would hurt.
And what happened with that loss, with, pains me to even say it, the double doink. If you reflect back on that, could, for any sense of your imagination, could you look back on that Cody Parkey miss before he spilled his guts out on Today Show? And you thought, yeah, that would be a successful season. No. I've never heard anyone say, sure, Matt Nagy was a success in that year, 12-4. All you think about in that year is what could have been, right? And they spent a ton. The best part about that year versus this year is you didn't spend 2 first-rounders to go get Khalil Mack.
Right.
At least you still got all your first-round picks. But when
all the people clamoring to go get Max Crosby, that's a part of what's in their heads. Like, yeah, remember when they got Khalil Mack and they won the division and they had a pass rush? That ain't necessary.
Okay, well, I may say go and get Max Crosby this offseason. I may say that. But I just, you know, because that was a first-year head coach, a second-year quarterback. There are so many similarities.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to go and do something special, then damn it, go and do it. Don't think about what it's going to look like the year after that. If as a two seed at your place, and yes, it is about losing to the Green Bay Packers, who have kind of owned the Bears this entire season except for an onside kick and what happened in overtime.
So if they lose to San Francisco or Seattle, then just to make sure that you're being clear, the season could still be viewed as successful if they lose to one of the other squads.
It would be a little bit more digestible. Okay. I just know if it were to happen, all of the magic, it wouldn't be wiped away, but it would lessen virtually everything that happened.
It'd be a bitter pill
to swallow for months, Anthony.
Yeah,
for months. Should we take some phone calls, especially after
it.
You know, you said. It was a beautiful scene set there by a young Anthony driving around listening to the score and trying not very mightily to get on the airwaves.
I didn't know. Didn't know it was necessary.
Let's let John in Chicago hit lead off for us this hour. Hey, John, what's going on? You're on the score.
Hi, guys. I love listening to you guys all the time and the Mr. Sartorial, Anthony Heron. And just wanted to ask a quick question. No one and another radio station I called earlier had said their opinions about this idea of just resting Caleb Williams. He deserves it, I think, and Bajent could use some sort of experience. And they just said that there's a momentum with the rookies right now that they don't want to lessen. Plus, you know, I thought it interesting that the 4,000 yards is not important to that other station. But just wanted to get your guys' opinion about possibly, I know this looks bad and you guys can just shout, you know, against me being a beginner, but, you know, just possibly taking the number two, three seed and facing, you know, since we've got home games, is to have the Rams come here instead. And then, I don't know, with the Packers, I know that they've got some people missing that maybe it might be advantageous at this time to play them. But
John, thanks for the call.
Arresting Caleb Williams for this next game. That's all.
John, we got you, buddy. Rest Caleb Williams? Absolutely not. Right?
Maybe John wasn't listening to Herm Edwards' conversation from a moment ago. Because if you are playing to win the games, and you know you want to put all your best healthy players out there, and one of the things that's impressed you most about Caleb, and I think it's fitting, is his availability, his ability to maintain health and to get in the lineup. And I would also say that, if nothing else, we've seen that week in and week out, every opportunity that Caleb gets in game action, we've seen him continue to improve this season. So to continue to search for the best version of Caleb Williams, you look at the way he's ascended through November and December, and now that we're into January, for him to just take a game off, no, I'm not looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to continuing to watch this young football player who still has very limited time on task in Ben Johnson's offense. Another game, and to do it against Detroit, and the things that would swirl around, potentially taking down the Lions, who blew the doors off of them in week two of the regular season. Yeah, I'd love to see him command that stage.
Bears are 6-1 at home. They're 5-4 on the road. Give yourself the best opportunity to do something great in the playoffs. And for this Bears team, they're drastically different at home on the road. And it's not a big surprise. A lot of teams are, and the Bears seem to have really captured something at Soldier Field. Let's go to Matt in the ATL. Matt, what would you say? Would it be a successful season if they did not win a playoff game?
Anthony, I like how he worded it. You know, it would be tough, right, to lose against Green Bay. It would be grotesque. It would be grotesque, but we are not supposed to be here. We weren't elected or validated to be here. So we playing with house money, even though it would suck to lose to the Cheeseheads. I personally expect us to advance no matter who we go against, but it would still be a success because, like, just think about the first game of the season, how we could possibly be, 12-4 at this juncture, right, and all of the Caleb's missed throws, all of the drop passes. And I was at the Cincinnati game, like, those magical last touchdowns from Colston, like, just craziness. So we play with house money, is a success, and just think of how much growth we could. Like, imagine what this team looked like with a defense. So I count it as a success.
Matt, thanks for the call. I don't know how you got grotesque and success altogether. You would feel grotesque, but would also feel success. I don't know how that works. You know who we should blame for my take on this is Ben Johnson. Because what has he done? He's come and he's raised expectations, right? Like, I think he saw this place as a quote-unquote sleeping giant, to use his own words. So if you want to find, you know, if you want to take it as a step in the right direction season, all right, okay. Was it a great year? Was it a fun season? Sure. Right? With all the come from behind victories. I'm not going to call something a success when you earned the 2 seed in the NFC. Right, you've worked your way up to be the second best team in the NFC.
They'd have been better off missing the playoffs than Jackson. That's what we should be aiming for.
I did not say that.
Miss the playoffs.
That is a far reach from success. Right? Have I swayed you on this one?
No, not at all.
Maybe
Maybe some of the listeners. I'm not alone though. I'm not in a vacuum operating here. Me personally, no. But a lot of other folks out there, maybe.
Best news about this one, we will have all next week to talk about. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it may pop up again come next week as we get set for, who do you think they're going to play? Money? Green Bay Packers, right?
Agreed.
Yeah. But you got to show up on Sunday. See, I keep forgetting there's a game on Sunday. Hopefully Ben Johnson doing a better job staying focused on that. Want to remind you of this. You know, let's do it on the other side. Also, there is I'm going to call him a star. One of Hollywood's biggest stars continues to do something in the sporting landscape. He did it here in Chicago. Are we tired of this star? We'll tell you who it is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday fast?
Yeah.
Oh, the Spiegel and Holmes Show.
Afternoons on the Score.
Welcome back to Kings Hockey. I'm standing by with massive Kings fan, actor, comedian Will Ferrell. Will, bit of a different look for you tonight. What's with the get up here?
I've always been in support of the NHL referees. In fact, I trained two of the guys out here. They're two of my prize students, Brandon and Francis. They're calling a heck of a game.
Yeah.
Heck of a game.
Will Ferrell was at it again. It reminded us of a very funny moment here in Chicago. We'll revisit in just a second. He is Anthony Hare. I'm Justin Richards in for Spiegel and Holmes on a Friday, January 2nd. Happy belated New Year's to everybody out there. Or New Year. Because it's not multiple years, Anthony. I know you care about that's the correct. English language.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Like having Tom Scherer on earlier, he hit us with a stadia.
He did hit us with a stadia.
Stadiums,
yeah,
but stadia.
Yeah, that sounded very educated.
Yeah,
I was just thinking, I need to work in stadia more often.
I don't believe I've ever used it on the air before. But
can I challenge you?
That's why he launched the Score.
Sunday on Fox 32, I need you to reference what's happening at Soldier Field as the stadia.
Now, I'm not going to remember it. Please text me.
I will text you.
And I will make it a point to work it in because I'm not going to remember.
We did want to remind you this also. You've been listening to Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric, Football Friday, presented by your local Ford dealers and Potawatomi Casino Hotel. We do have Bulls basketball on the Score tonight. Bulls and the Magic at the UC. Our pregame coverage begins at 6:45. Tip-off at 7 o'clock on the Score and the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network, powered by Helly Forklifts. Also, if you're a small business owner, lend me your ears. Again, if you're a local business owner or employee, how would you like to have your commercial air during Super Bowl 60 right here on the Score? Here is your chance. We brought back the Score Big for Your Business contest where you can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on the Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 60 from Westwood One. And new this year, you can win a live broadcast for your brand. Here's what you do. You log on to 670thescore.com/contest to enter now. Learn more details. Deadline to enter is January 18th. Score big for your business. Sponsored by People's Bank, where better banking keeps moving forward. Member FDIC. That website, 670thescore.com/contest. While we're at it, also we'll remind you, great show today. Dan Weider at 3 o'clock, Olin Krutz at 4 o'clock, Herm Edwards, which was a blast, at 5 o'clock. Tom Scherer, by the way, the very first voice on these airwaves 34 years ago, joined us at 3:45. You can catch it all on the Odyssey app. Anthony, do you remember this moment at the United Center? Speaking of Will Ferrell.
The visiting Chicago Bulls. At forward, number 5, he still lives with his mother, Carlos Boozer. At forward, number 9, he collects rare birds and has a pet dolphin named Chachi, Luol Deng.
All right, you may remember that. That was, Tyler, what did we decide that was the 2012 season?
That was, I believe, the 2012 season against the New Orleans Hornets.
Hornets.
At the time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Now the Pelicans, still live with his mother, revisiting that. Give me a good LOL.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell out and about, and he's still doing it. I've seen
out
him.
In these streets.
Where else? Yeah, out in these streets. Mm-hmm. Tired act, or are you still in on Will Ferrell doing the caricatures at sporting events?
I'm fine with it. You're probably catching me at a weak moment because I did make the admission to my wife probably, maybe it was on your birthday, maybe on the eve of your birthday, where I said, you know what? The movie Elf, I think it's finally grown on me. Because I thought it was fine at first.
It took, what, 23 some years?
Maybe, something like that. But I actually just told my wife sometime during the week leading into Christmas, you know what? I get it. I get the hubbub about Elf, because I tend to get locked into my ways with some of what I view as the all-time great Christmas movies. Now, Bad Santa won me over really quickly. Now, I'm not going to say it's one of the great Christmas movies. It's just one of my favorites. But I think A Christmas Story, like that goes without saying. That is just an absolute classic. I feel like It's a Wonderful Life holds up really well over time. But kind of like Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. It took me about 20 years to say, you know what? That is one of the all-time great Christmas songs. And I've finally gotten there with Elf as well.
Yeah. The Elf, my favorite scene in Elf is when Will Ferrell first meets his dad, James Caan. Mm. But if you watch the scene, James is staring at the wall and then turns around. If you recall, I'm like, what? Who decided it would be a great idea to get James up out of his chair and then go stand directly against the wall and then turn around and act shocked? I always look forward to that scene. Yeah. One of my great regrets, remember when Will Ferrell started doing the Ron Burgundy podcast?
Oh, I didn't know there was a podcast. I thought you were just going to ask me if I've seen Anchorman.
No, he did a podcast.
Okay.
And so when he was promoting the podcast, he was doing a lot of radio interviews. The show I was on at the time, my co-host was out of town. And so it was me and Ron Burgundy.
Really?
And I was getting married a week later.
Okay.
So all Ron Burgundy did during the interview was give me wedding night advice.
Wedding night.
Yes.
Advice.
Yes.
For all of San Diego to hear.
That's right.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
I need to repost that. I got to check that out.
So my great regret is that I do not have the interview.
Oh, what are we doing here?
All I was told, I think 100 people may have told me, don't try to be funny. Do not try to match.
Let Will Ferrell do the funny. That was the advice you got.
And I did a really good job of not being funny.
All right. Congratulations.
And as soon as I mentioned I was getting married, like, you know, he may have done 60 interviews that day. As soon as I mentioned I was getting married, he kind of locked in on the moment. He asked about how we met. And then what did he say? He said, I think he said he had a great A&R guy, or A&B for audio and video recording. He was recommending, that I record everything in a very Ron Burgundy fashion.
Did you take him up on that?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. I kind of said, you know, it felt very 1970s, as talking to Ron Burgundy would do. But now the one thing I will say about Will Ferrell is he is a legit diehard lifelong sports fan.
Seems that way,
so
right?
So he's in.
Think back to, like, he's at the USC practices years ago during Pete Carroll's time there, right? And everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it's legit.
Seems legit. Right.
So we're going to give him the pass.
Some guys are faking the funk. He seems like he's really invested in sports.
You are not faking the funk, no, Anthony.
At this point.
I enjoyed this very much.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Hope we do it again.
I hope I was able to convince you on... Still a long way to go for this to be a successful season.
Ooh, that didn't happen yet. Try again, though.
If something doesn't go the way it should, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be on my side real quick, although let's hope that that is not the case. That will do it for us. Again, Bulls basketball is coming up at 6:45. Tip-off at 6:45. Check that. Tip-off is at 7. Pregame begins at 6:45. For Tyler Buterbaugh, for Anthony Herron, I'm Judson Richards. In for Spiegel and Holmes. Have a wonderful rest of the day, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.